Welcome to Entrepreneurs of Playbook. I'm David Meltzer, and I am so blessed to be here in gorgeous Boise, Idaho, with one of my favorite entrepreneurs. We hit it off from the very start.
Yes.
Ben Carlson has a unique business, a successful business. It's a silent assassin of Boise. You wouldn't even know how big and how powerful this business and how supportive they are, but 831B has continued to grow exponentially every single year. The founder and CEO of 831B, Van Carlson, welcome back.
David, such a pleasure to have you here in Boise.
Well, I'm glad to be here because the whole idea of the playbook was to find people like you and ask for their playbook to success. And you've grown a lot. Things change in our lives personally and professionally. We were discussing them off camera. And I was curious, in that playbook to success, you've always had a playbook, but what were some of the things that have changed since the last time we spoke in your playbook?
You know, who is our client? You know, what we do, I mean, we're a risk management company, right? And we take advantage of a tax code and we help business owners mitigate risk.
Self-insurance, basically.
Yeah, our core competency.
1986 law that was passed that now is utilized outside of farming.
Right. Much more. Yeah. But we're more into farming than ever, actually. Those guys got a ton of risk. They are the true gamblers of our society. But so we manage that for clients, right? And you know what we do, and I'm working with a lot of strategic partners around the country that represent our products and stuff. And you're going to be speaking at our symposium here today, so I appreciate you being here for that. You know what we ask business owners to do is not easy. You know, we're asking them, hey, you're going to have, you know, you got to a point, you've achieved to the level of your business where you've got a lot of risk, you're self-insuring a lot of risk, you got tax liabilities and all that kind of stuff. And so taking money off the balance sheet and not missing it is you've achieved to the level of a different business, right? I mean, we all want to achieve to that point, right? And we try to. And so that's really, you know, who are we trying to serve? And that's really the clients that we're serving. So I would say from our perspective, since we last talked, and we're constantly evolving as a business like any other businesses, I think that's really identifying who our true client is. And it used to be like somebody married in a couple, blah, 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 run their business and put everything dollar back in. It's more than that. And I think these guys have done somewhat of the impossible. You know, it's not easy running a business and taking it and turning it not only into profitable, but to the point where, you know, you can start to mitigate the risk that you've taken too. And so that's really identifying that client. It's probably been the biggest thing for us, honestly, since we last talked.
Yeah, and it's so important because the total addressable community as well has expanded for 831B. And one of the things that I've touched on over these years is I used to help people make money. And I've always been good at making money. I made $1 million out of law school. Even when I was bankrupt, I was making money, right? That was not my issue. But I sought a lot of mentorship and help, and we belong to different organizations, some which we grow and some that are needed still. We've outgrown some mentorship. Some we're looking for new mentorship and new types of collective consciousness and experiences. But there's this philosophy that I'm really pursuing now about helping people not just make money, and it fit right into 831B. Because 831B doesn't really help people make money. It helps them engineer wealth.
Yeah, position wealth, dollars more effectively and efficiently.
It has to be engineered. Yeah. It's a tax architecture. You know, there's a role for a CPA, an accountant, and a bookkeeper. There's even a role for a tax attorney. And we talked about this early on when there was different things that even the tax attorney, CPAs, accountants, and bookkeeper, you would ask them about ERC or other things. I asked mine about 831B. And if they didn't know, they would assume that it was a fraudulent or some scam instead of actually doing their due diligence. It is the tax architecture companies and tax architects that engineer wealth. I see 831B as a tax architecture.
That's a great way to look at it.
And it's engineering your wealth, and you really have to be successful already, but also understand and be open-minded to how this can be a great benefit. In your own personal life, I feel as if you are learning the lesson. You've made a lot of money. Now you want to engineer well.
Absolutely. And in fact, you know, been blessed in so many ways.
Both of us.
You know, sometimes, you
I've seen your wife, so it's easy. It's obvious.
I couldn't agree more. Got really lucky
there. We subscribe to the exact same philosophy. We know what really makes us wealthy.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I've told younger people that it's so critical not to go off.
No, please. This is the most important part of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, is who you marry.
Yeah.
And who you...
Blind and deaf girls are perfect for me.
Right? I should tell my son that. But no, I think it has more to do with my individual success, not only as a person, a father, and now a papa, but the financial success, who you marry. It's become really apparent to me. And I've just... Again, having my wife Sherry as that person, been very fortunate. Anyway,
engineering wealth.
Yeah, engineering wealth. You know, it's about positioning dollars. The people I've really come to respect. It's not so much about owning or buying or owning this house. It's not that. It's how they position dollars in their overall wealth. And I think that's what really I've come to learn too. It's how do you position dollars? I mean, you know. The old adage, make more money, more problems kind of thing. There's some more truth to that. I don't want to sound like I'm a redneck at the end of the day here. You know, I'm in Idaho, right? You know this, but so even talking like this, but I do think positioning dollars, and to your point, the architectural part of that is how do you position, you know, putting rooms in there for dollars, right? In architecture, right?
Right.
Designing a floor plan. And I think it's positioning dollars that really helps add to your overall, not just your wealth, but your ability to sleep easier at night, knowing that, you know, you've planned for the future, and that's really positioning dollars in a more favorable way, from not only from a risk mitigation standpoint, but also to your point about taxes as well.
And within the context of engineering wealth, risk mitigation, tax architecture, comes a component for all entrepreneurs, and it's one for me that I struggle reinforcing and being repetitive and honest to entrepreneurs about knowing your timing and risk tolerance. And this predisposition. So for example, everybody knows the idea we need to surrender. And it's inherently within my faith to surrender to God. But I always thought that was my disposition. Like faith was my disposition. Yeah, yeah. It's not until faith becomes your predisposition do you really understand surrendering. And for me, ironically, understanding your timing and risk tolerance has to be a predisposition to evaluate, am I going to use 831B or I'm going to use this type of partnership, whatever it may be.
Whatever tools out there.
And even investment, right?
Oh, yeah.
Having a predisposition of knowing. And the reason is you will lose your money if you have a predisposition of timing and risk tolerance at times, and you will be disappointed, but you will never be resentful and guilty.
Right.
You'll never feel stupid. Because you already said, okay, I had this much chance that, you know, it's like a lottery ticket to be. If I know it's $2, Saturday at 8 o'clock, I could win a half a billion with a billion in one chance, and I lose my $2, I'm disappointed still. But I'm not resentful and guilty and feel bad about it because I knew my time.
The woe is me kind of thing, right?
Your business is based off of, when you say finding that customer, finding the right customer, if they don't know their timing and risk tolerance, they can't see the quantitative value.
And you can't show it to them. They got to be ready. And that's what I'm really working with my staff about, is the achievement level of a business owner and the evolution of the business owner. We've all seen it. We've lived it.
Twice, I've
So, you know, I think that's a level of maturity, not only in your business, but you as the owner or the founder of a company or whatever your responsibility is. I just think, you know, it's new to me, but it's not new. Right, yeah. The book's been done. The people, you know, I'm living through this for the first time, where I'm at in my life. What's important to me 3-4 years ago is not important to me anymore. You know, it has a lot to do with, you know, I'm very fortunate to have grandkids now, and that just turns your world upside down. And for everybody that has that coming to them in the future, I you know, it's one of God's greatest gifts.
I heard that now, you know, those kids, they both have the same, with their grandparents, have the same common enemy. I'm waiting for my first grandchild, so I can't wait.
Oh, man.
And I can't wait to mess up my kids' house the way they messed up mine. That's one of the things I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, feed them something you're not supposed to, all that stuff.
Sharon Lecter is one of my mentors, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, also helped with my favorite book, Outwitting the Devil. Since last time we spoke, I'm chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute, which is my legacy to help people understand what Napoleon Hill in 1930 was talking about with Think and Grow Rich and Outwitting the Devil. But She talks about taking your mess, creating a message. The message creates your mission, and the mission is what will create the miracles. And I love that. And I see certain companies out there that are capable and able of doing that. But it is amplifying a company culture, because people today work for cultures, not companies. And
I agree.
And you've built a great culture. Within that culture is a message that has become a mission, which is called weathering the storm.
Yes.
Right. And the storm's the mess. The message was to weather it. Now you have a mission to weather the storm. And it's amplified through all types of other activities.
Yeah. In fact, we just finished up our, we commissioned a painting. So here's the thing. Our mascot.
Which I got to be a part of, which was
awesome. You did. Yeah. And very thankful you're in our documentary.
Yeah.
Awesome. And, you know, what we were fortunate enough to identify early on is the buffalo, the American bison, as our mascot. And one of the things we came to realize is that, you know, one of the things they're known for is they turn into the storm. They just don't wait for it to happen.
So cool.
And we want to position our business owners through risk mitigation. You know, one of the things that we say here is we embolden business owners through innovation of risk management, which almost sounds like an oxymoron when you think about it.
Right.
But, you know, if we can position dollars again and again, make them more, you know, because there's when you see a storm on the horizon, when the something's coming, if you prepare for it, there's actually opportunity in storms. We all know that. I mean, we've kind of, economic turmoil can.
COVID.
Yeah.
Some of us found it, some of us didn't.
Yeah. And hey, 09, 09, all that, you know, the great, there was winners there too.
Big.
Yeah. And so.
Great Depression, huge winners.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how much did we hear? Cash is king. What, man, if I only had the cash, I could have bought that property for penny, all that stuff, right? That's a storm. But if you position it right, so that's really where the buffalo came in. So we commissioned some art. Robert Copel was our artist, Orange County.
Right by me.
Yeah, and great, made a great painting. Out of that painting, we made a documentary.
And you just released it.
Yep.
Right here at the Blue Turf.
Yeah, exactly, at the Stickle Sky Center. Everybody, you know, so we flew a lot of our strategic partners around the country in. We unveiled it, and you're in the documentary.
Thank you for
including You are the motivational speaker guy in that part of our stuff, anyway. You have to watch the documentary. See if you're interested.
Oh, I'm going to fully watch it, and with Nick as well.
Yeah, and it's a great. There's a great message in there, and the fact that we work with American Native, especially specifically the Modoc tribe out of Oklahoma. I mean, it plays a part in that. They have a great buffalo herd, so it's all kind of in there. And again, we're very fortunate to be in a business where we help businesses weather the storm.
Yeah, with wisdom and faith, shortening the distance of resistance created by the storm. And for me, it's something I'm going to speak about at the symposium, because I think it's so important that the idea of this human experience that we have, it starts when your heart starts and stops when your heart stops. So in the human experience, that's why I make these non-negotiable things. Like, I look at what God said to keep your heart beating. He says, if you don't breathe, your heart stops. You don't eat, stops. Drink, stop. Move, stop. Sleep, stop. So my first mentors had nothing to do with business. It was to keep my heart beating and keep me healthy for as long so I can enjoy those grandkids. And even the great ones, like my mom got to do, you know, as you get generational, which would be beautiful. But in weathering the storm, there's this human aspect that, and I went through with my bankruptcy, to be honest. We talked about when I had to go tell my mom I went bankrupt and lost her house. And she said to me, I said, why am I being punished? Why would God punish me, Mom? I've done everything. I've tried my best. I've been a good son. I bought you this house. Unfortunately, you now have to move because I lost it. Why is he punishing me? I actually said and went as far as saying, and my mom's very religious, I don't believe in God anymore. And she said, oh, son, you believe in God? You just believe in the wrong God. Mm. And that changed my life. And so I see my human experience that there's so many things in my past, advantage of getting old besides grandkids, is that you learn there's so many times in these storms, there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary that you're even going to survive, let alone get to where you want to go. Right. Yeah. And to me, when I saw that buffalo facing the storm, I said, holy shit, this is exactly what I'm talking about. There's no evidence to that bison. The evidence is contrary that he's going to get to his next day, let alone water and food or his own kids and grandkids. But yet he has faith.
Yes.
That if he continues the behaviors of moving forward, aligned with his divine direction, that this detour itself actually will promote you, protect you, love and perfect you, not punish you.
Yes.
That's what your business and your life is about.
No, and you know what? It's crazy how on the front end of the storm, it looks overwhelming. We have those days.
Evidence.
We have those days.
Yeah.
It happens. I mean,
to
especially
everyone.
Yeah, and you know, we get the lovely effect of the IRS sometimes, right? So with our code. So, you know, when those things get dropped on you and you think, you know, you feel this weight just all of a sudden hit you. And then you evaluate and you've like, hey, I've been here before. I've seen this storm. It may be a little different shaded, but I've gotten through it in the past. So that's another thing about storms, right? It builds your confidence with time. And I think, you know, you become, I don't know, I don't want to use the word numb to it, but you're certainly not fearful of it.
Right. Your reaction
you're steering into it.
You're afraid at first.
Oh, yeah.
And you react differently than you did before, and you respond to the reaction differently than you did before.
You know, if this is in front of you, there's a reason for it.
Right.
You know, and
to protect you, promote you, love and perfect you.
And I think I've yet to not see something more positive than negative happen out of it. Because in the beginning, it could be overwhelming, you know, and all that good stuff. But I think from my personal experience in life, when I've had those situations come up, business, personal, whatever, it made me, to your point, a better, stronger, better person in the long run, and have more faith that it's just not you here. You know, there's something bigger than you here. And that
loves you, protects you, promotes you more than your mom. There has to be something bigger than you.
Yeah.
And if for you can't find it in your religion, your spirituality, your theories and philosophies, then for me, I tell people, then just have faith in your best option. So if you're living your human life and you have two options, there's nobody protecting, promoting, loving, and perfecting me, or I have an option to believe that there's an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing, infinite, abundant source, God, who is protecting, promoting, and loving, and I just don't understand how this
you know,
torture,
all the pieces, but
and there's so many situations. I've studied the Bible a lot, especially over the last 10 years, and it shows me all the time, for every force, there's a counterforce. And so if the forces are against me, that builds a greater counterforce. Once again, weathering the storm, taking on the imagery that you have in the art and in the documentary to help inspire not just your clients, but everyone out there that is dealing with their personal and professional counterforces.
Yeah.
And it's so inspiring.
And you know, when we first set out to do this documentary and the we did the commissioning of the painting because quite honestly, we couldn't find something.
Right.
You know, I had Bree, my market, and we talk about it in the documentary.
AI wasn't as big back then.
No.
Let's just be honest.
Good point.
We could have saved a lot of money.
Oh, man. Robert, why'd you have to say that?
I'm sorry.
But I should have told Robert that, the artist about that.
He's lucky.
He loved that. Anyway, the big thing there is it grew legs, right? It became more and more, not just a marketing piece for my company. And it has been interesting at the symposium how, you know, we were fortunate enough to have some people there from the Modoc tribe talk about how they weathered the storm and what they've had to for their survival, and so it was very heavy. It was very impactful, and they're in the documentary as well, and they have one of the largest buffalo herds in the country, actually. And anyway, so this the whole thing fit in there, and at the same time, you know, my original motivation was I wanted to create an art piece. I wanted to be able to, and I wanted to get it to strategic partners. We're gonna turn this into a sales promotion thing, and. But it just, it became so much more. And it really is more of a, to your point about a metaphoric way of somebody should live their life, right?
Yeah.
Not just be the buffalo, not just be a business that's afraid of the storms, know that there's opportunities there, also the individual.
The message became the mission. Now the mission's creating miracles.
Yeah.
That's the way I see the weather.
You know what, you're right. And, you know, again, you don't set out for all this stuff, but they kind of evolved that way. And so it's been really fun. And if you would have told me I would have ever owned a company that would do this or thought about doing this.
Right.
I would have thought, no way in hell am I going to do this. But you know what? I'm so glad we spent the time and the money to do it. And We'll see where it goes. You know what? You know what would be cool one day? I said this at the Stickles Science Center that it'd be cool to see this thing in a gallery, you know, and Robert has big plans for it. Yeah. I think it's, you know, if you listen to him in the documentary, Robert Kolpo, it's one of his bigger challenges. You know, we had to show motion and the buffalo, and how do you do that on a still canvas, right? And so it was a really good experience. I have more appreciation for art.
Just got approached by a big gallery asking me for things like this. So they're down in Florida. So I'll have to hook you up. This is right up their alley.
Yeah. And so, you know, the print itself, the painting is called Weather the Storm.
Yeah, the documentary is Weather the Storm.
Yeah. And I'm actually in the process of writing a book called Weather the Storm.
Awesome. Well, hopefully I can help you with that book as well.
I will definitely rely on it.
The world needs more of you and the ability and capability of weathering the storm. Remember, people are at their highest self when they're able and capable of helping others. And that's the way, from the day that I've met you, as you've evolved as well, that you are becoming more able and more capable of helping more people, not just with 831B, but in your own personal philanthropic endeavors, and especially for me, in your family life, which I love to see the evolution and growth there. It's always an amazing opportunity to speak with you, understand and get your playbook to success professionally and personally. Van Carlson, make me one promise that this won't be the last time you come on the playbook.
Never. Always, David.
About it. The incredible founder, CEO of 831B, a good friend of mine here in Boise, Idaho. I'm David Meltzer. This is Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.